How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The kick, it's been blocked again! Oh my! It's been blocked again!
He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyreek Cleveland! Oh my! I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw. Pops and fires the ball over the middle. It's there! It's there!
He comes back. Say goodbye. Ahmad Black in his final game as a Gator takes it all the way home and sends Urban out a winner.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium Miguel. It's your boy, Corey.
It's Dan.
Delatorre.
And your boy, Jay Scott, 2-5. What it do, y'all boys?
What up, 2-5?
Yes, sir.
Same corner, different time.
It's yeah. We're watching, we got America versus Belgium in what was going to be like a pretty straightforward game, but we got a red card reversal, and America's the enemy again.
That's how we like it.
I like our chances.
Yeah. I like being the villain. Like villain America over here, like any other American.
Everyone knows what an upstanding, super non-corrupt organization FIFA is, so it did come as shocking news that FIFA would do something that everyone didn't agree with.
America.
It's like that video. I posted it yesterday. It's the guy speaking where he's like, if it's corrupt, I'm not involved. But if I'm involved, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Let's do it.
As long as it benefits me, man, I'm with it.
Yeah.
Let's go win a World Cup.
Yeah. Like I enjoy being on the good side of some corruption, but like this FIFA's an organization that took cash bribes to hold the last World Cup in Qatar, whatever it's called. And they couldn't even play in the time that they were normally going to play because it's too hot. They changed the entire schedule of the World Cup.
Yeah.
Because the money was green. So like, what are we talking about?
I have zero sympathy for FIFA and the drubbing that they're getting by the world. At the end of the day, they're afraid. That's what I found out. There's a bunch of people in and that they're afraid of American dominance in our fifth most popular sport. So we might win by a couple field goals today. Scarlett, I don't know.
Man. This whole soccer
six,
thing.
6-0.
Right.
How's y'all's fourth?
I was saying, I ain't been too tuned into soccer, but over the weekend, I did get to watch some soccer, surprisingly. That's about the only thing swinging on these days. So my 4th of July weekend was pretty good overall, though. Pretty boring dad stuff with the kids. I was out on the grill, wet, and sweating at the same time. So it didn't make no sense. But we made it work, you know. It's just that's the South for you. So
those 4 summers, man.
What? Pouring rain for 30 minutes and then hot as heck for the next 5 hours.
I didn't get into a whole lot 4th of July. Kicked it, got some rest, slept in, woke up, did a 4th of July workout. I always work out my son every 4th of July. We get a workout in. So I took him out there, ran some hills, and then it was off to the park later on that evening and sat, watched some fireworks, Didn't barbecue. I didn't do nothing this year. Usually I'm like man in the grill, but a lot of family was out of town. They went up early for my brother's retirement. We're celebrating this week. He got his military retirement. So a lot of family already went up there for the 4th of July to start celebrating with him. So most family was in Atlanta. So I didn't do the whole family thing. Just sat at the park, hit the food trucks, vibed out a little bit, watched some fireworks, and left while the fireworks were going off. So no traffic, you know, elite vibes, man. But
hell yeah.
Happy 4th to anybody that we didn't say it last week. So happy 4th of July. Happy birthday, America.
250 years strong. Nick, how's yours?
Bro, we didn't do anything. We are selfishly, my parents are celebrating my dad's second retirement by taking an Alaskan cruise.
Nice.
So we are, daycare was off Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Apparently, it was the most patriotic daycare in all of the land. They needed to take off half of last week. So we were daycareless and grandparentless for 5 days.
Wow.
Just trying to get through the weekend. Do I want to take the kids out to see fireworks? Surely I do. Was I going to? Absolutely not. my mom and dad aren't here this week. We're just getting by day, overcoming the adversity in the living room.
Yeah, you sound like Billy Napier, bro.
Man.
just trying to get by.
It's hard to believe there's people that do it all the days, Nick.
Could never. Couldn't be me.
Could not be you.
Hats off to y'all. Don't know how you do it.
Yeah, Nick's like, man, I can relate to deadbeat dads, man.
Bro. Sunday, I was like, hey, Sunday, I was like, do I need to go get a pack of cigarettes? Do I need to just run to the gas station for some stogies and maybe some milk? Come back later.
That's nuts. Man, well, I had a good 4th of July out on the boat, did the fireworks here in St. Pete. So ultimately a nice relaxing weekend. I went to my buddy Ray's house, actually, and there was a Stadium and Gale listener whose name I forgot that was there. He's friends with my buddy Ray, and he's like, I knew you looked and sounded familiar. I didn't have my hat on, so that's probably why. He's not used to seeing this illustrious hairline in person. So shout out to you. I forgot your name. Awesome, dude. We only got to chat for a couple minutes, but appreciate it. So, but we are on a time crunch today. Oh, by the way, I saw Spain just beat Portugal. If you're not paying attention and listening to this show, but we appreciate you guys for joining early. Let's get a quick ad read, and then we will get on with the show. We're going to break down running backs, wide receivers, and the Gators just got a new commit an hour before we started. Not even. So, Cor.
One time for the great folks at Brunt Insurance and Financial Services. Anything you need insured from the panhandle to the handle to the keys, make sure you hit my man Greg up at 954-589-2204. The best in the game, especially with saving you money. Home insurance, auto insurance, life insurance, ATVs, RVs, anything with wheels, including an embroidery machine or any other type of machine. My man Greg can definitely save you some money. Don't cost you a dime. To see if you can save a dime, visit bruntinsurance.com or give them a call at 954-589-2204. Big coverage, big policies.
Greg, what'd it do, baby?
And then one time for our friends over at the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group, if you're looking for a group of attorneys that used to work on behalf of the insurance agencies that will now work on your behalf to make sure that you're protected, look no further than the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group. Give them a call at 727-258-0043, 727-258-0043. Pipe damage, water leaks, water damage, sinkhole damage, hurricane damage, maybe tornado damage. I know we don't deal with that a lot here. Give them a call, 727-258-0043, or visit them at dykusburkelaw.com. All right, boys, as we are preparing for the show, the Gators grabbed another commit for the class of 2027 with the commitment of safety Kamari Whitfield from the First Academy in Orlando, Florida. We're going to get his highlight reel pulled up here. The Gators beat out a number of schools, most notably probably Nebraska was the school that most people thought that he might go to a number of months ago. And so the Gators grab him, solidify their number eight spot in the class of 2027. But here we are. Yeah, this is his highlight film. As you guys are watching and observing there, 5 foot 10, 185 pounds is
Brother,
ranked
hold on,
as...
Pause. Bro. What are they? What is that field? If you're watching on YouTube, it is that's yellow nuts. AstroTurf. It looks like they had some basketball, lacrosse, all kinds of things.
It's a multi-purpose field, insane. Nick. Not everybody has St. Thomas Aquinas money. You know what I mean?
No, I just don't get it. I don't get it.
He's the number 733rd overall player in the country, 82nd best cornerback in the country, and the number 61 player in the state of Florida. This looks like a guy that maybe hasn't been evaluated by a lot of different the scouting services, holds offers from Virginia Tech, Oregon, Georgia Tech, Miami, Notre Dame, UCF, Penn State, Nebraska, and Florida. So Kamari Whitfield.
Oh, what a game.
Another Kamari.
Oh, yeah, like, where is he from?
Orlando, the first academy.
Okay, that field looked crazy. So I didn't know if he was in another.
There's a couple crazy looking fields on here.
Mm-hmm. I see. It looks like he's playing like New Jersey or something. But now I like his tape. Like, would like to see his size and measurables because his feet work are very good. Could play safety. I like him at the nickel. They playing him a lot at the nickel spot. Off ball, reacts very well. Like, he could very well, like, the way he shed blockers in some of these clips, he could very well play linebacker. Like, I see him in the box blitzing a lot, like, right here. Yeah. Tackle for loss.
Yeah, the staff views him as a nickel.
This is that field Nick was talking about. What's going on here?
That's an insane field.
That's crazy.
This but can't no, be in Orlando. Where is this?
I seen him on Twitter squatting 475, so he definitely got the strength to play in that box. Exactly. So,
damn,
I like
son.
Him. I like
that. What?
Real physical. You got good feet. Still physical.
What'd you say, Jordan? 475?
Yeah, 475.
At 185 pounds?
Yeah, on a squat.
No, he's 185 pounds squatting 475. That's crazy.
Yes.
As a junior in high school?
It's sound footwork, bro.
It's good to double your body weight in a squat. He's done more than that. Great ball. From the staff, they said physical mentality. I think we're seeing that slot quarter corner. They say he's an alpha, loves football. They want to keep the best home. Great tackler, sticky in coverage.
I like these kind of gets, man. I feel like even like hearing his offers, like obviously he had a lot of big schools, but not the.
Hey, look at that! Look at that, bro! Like, look how he shed blockers. Play that clip over again.
That's what I'm saying.
Linebacker. Like, this is a linebacker very easy.
He not no five-star, but you know he going to play for Florida hard because he's a Florida boy. And he just love ball. Like, I want straight ball.
Watch it. If you don't know ball, let me show you something real quick. Watch how he just reads and just – oh.
I saw two of them things back to back.
Corey, I think they're looking at him at nickel and was recruited by safeties coach Chris Collins, which I believe Nick has said is going to fall probably more predominantly under the safeties coach this upcoming year. So that would make sense. Keen eye you have there. You know, I would at 5 foot 10, unless he grows, probably too short to be the linebacker you would want.
Hall of Famer Zach Thomas, 5'10".
Okay. That's great.
It's just impressive. He can shed and react and shed like that as a DB. Like most DBs don't want no problem with an offensive lineman pulling, et cetera. Like he's able to feel and shed guys like that.
Yeah, I would keep him on the field at all times once he actually fit into his body and get good. You know, he can play in all personnel.
A lot of Matt Elam vibes in that right there.
I like that.
And I think he's going to be a guy that climbs the rankings just based on his offer list. You know, I know that, you know, you can look at him as the 700 and whatever, what I say, 66th best player in the country, something like that. A lot of these guys are still being evaluated. You still have an entire season ahead of them. And a lot of these guys have difficult time unless they've been on the circuit being able to review everybody. So then you start to look at offers you know, Nebraska's recruited pretty well under Matt Rule, but Oregon, Penn State, you know, Miami, the other schools that I named, like those are all schools that you want to see recruiting the guys that you're after. So I think he's a guy that's going to continue to climb the rankings, and he's going to join Amari Fountain in the defensive back room right now.
Yeah, I ain't stargazing these days. I know stars do matter, but you know, evals do as well. I think they found a guy in him, like the football tape. That squat sounds crazy.
Facts. So. Yeah, I like to get to overall, man. I think the good mindset in that, like, we're not letting dudes just run up out of Florida, whether it's South Florida, Central Florida, or Northern Florida. Like, we got guys here that can play, so why not get them on our team? And I obviously think you're going to get the little hometown discount to where you ain't got to throw the real brag, like maybe a Nebraska will have to do to kind of get a guy like him. So let's rack up some more of those, man. It's like we always say, raise the floor of our roster. And, like, I think we can do that out of high school and building good pieces like him, dudes that all love to represent for the state. And, shoot, they're going to be feeling like they're at home, and I think that's going to be the best thing for him and for our team as well.
Oh, 100%, Jordan. Gators, like I said, ranked 8th in the country right now. 16 blue-chip recruits, 25 overall commitments, and I think that there's going to be some guys in this class that continue to climb up those rankings. So, again, the Gators grab their 25th player of the class of 2027 in Kamari, and that's spelt a different way. We've got a couple Kamaris in this recruiting class that we've been following. This is K-A-M-A-U-R-I, Whitfield, out of the First Academy in Orlando. So congratulations to Kamari, Chris Collins, and the rest of the Gators staff.
One quick question for Nick. Nick, do you have any idea, like, potentially what this class caps out at size-wise?
No, I hadn't even asked it. I don't know what even the roster limit, how many they'll use. I think if we went through the roster right now, I don't even know that they're, like, at capacity. Yeah, I have no idea how big the class is or how they'll handle portal versus. I think they have the same kind of mentality that Napier did, whereas they want to build the program through high school, which would lend you to think a bigger class. But then also you don't know who's leaving, who's popping up in the transfer portal. So I have no idea.
I think that there's that, and I think you're just going to have a lot of natural attrition from year one to year two as well. You know, and I'm not dumb enough to believe that all 25 of these guys, so I wouldn't be surprised if this group goes to maybe 30 at one point. I don't think that they'll sign 30, but I think that that's probably a number that this class could probably get up to before you start seeing some attrition. I mean, they brought in, what, 56 guys this offseason between recruiting and the transfer portal. I don't think that that's something that you want to do every year if you don't have to.
No, that's coaching change on them more than anything. That's not typical. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now they I think they do want to spend it's almost kind of like Miami where you want to spend on the trenches. And like, but that's like elite guys in high school. Like they went out and got, you know, Hiller. I'm forgetting the center's name right now, but elite five-star, high four-star guys, you'll spend for them. But other than that, I don't know if you're going to be talking about the offensive line.
Peyton Miller and Elijah Hutchinson. Yeah, Peyton Miller.
And then, like, there might be guys, like a quarterback pops up or a great receiver from in-state that you really want. But I think for the most part, it's spending on offensive, defensive line, and then – picking pieces out of the portal that you can get.
Nick, I think you make a really salient point before you jump up there. The top 7 Gator commitments are interior offensive line, wide receiver, offensive tackle, QB, an elite edge rusher, an interior offensive lineman, and then that wide receiver that you feel like can really make an impact. So what you said there was 100% spot on. So
yeah, they've got a really good wide receiver class too. I think all 3 guys are 4-star commits. And then Speedy ran like a 4.42 or 4.38, something like that, 4.42 at Friday Night Lights.
Don't say 4.2 ever again on this podcast.
No. I said 4.3. I said 4.3. I didn't say 4.2. I didn't say 4.2.
You said 4.2 at first. I thought it was Myers.
Oh, four. I said 4-3-2, and I was like, I think that might be fast too.
That's a lot too, but I like it. Yeah.
4-2 is Urban Meyer territory. You had like seven Gators running under 4-3 on Urban's teams. But then also retention's super expensive.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a mess.
Retention is cheaper than like acquisition in the portal.
Yeah, unless they go in the portal, or unless they have schools talking to them when they're not in the portal, and then all of a sudden the number that you thought you had agreed on is now a new number because so-and-so got in touch with my agent, and now this is the number if I go in the portal. So how do you want to handle it? So like yes and no, you know, big humans will always command a lot of money. In any portal, but like, yeah, the price gets driven up even if you're not in the portal.
Time for you to start making some start dialing for dollars, Nick. Dialing for dollars. Need a telethon. This was, I put it up on the screen that we were chatting. Kamari Whitfield previously committed to Tennessee as well. And our good friend Spencer said, you said 4-2, 4-3. So just putting it out there. And then Corey looks like Denzel and out of time, which
I mean, gotta get a chat back to joking on Dan, bro. Like, I gotta grow my beard.
Yeah. We gotta pay. The jokes are coming for me. They always do. They always do. So, again, Kamari Whitfield, congratulations, on your commitment, to the Florida Gators. We're gonna do a quick ad read, then we're gonna get into, to the running back room here. This is gonna be an exciting day to talk about the Florida Gators, because this might be one of their more elite groups that they've had over the last, I don't know, decade and a half. But before we do that, one time friend for our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks, if you want a cool cup like this one, baseball themed, or any of the other ones the guys show throughout this show, go visit GameTimeSidekicks.com. Use promo code STADIUM15 at checkout. You get 15% off of your order. Go support our friends over in Knoxville that created great product that are going to keep your hot drinks hot and your cold drinks cold. Again, GameTimeSidekicks.com, promo code STADIUM and STADIUM15. Sorry. And then, yeah, so Raheem Floyd, a four-star cornerback out of East St. Louis, is also potentially announcing his commitment tomorrow, likely trending towards the Gators, and that would be a huge get for them. And we can talk a little bit more about that towards the end of the show or after it happens. But be on the lookout for Raheem Floyd. If he commits, I think the Gators class would not only jump back up to 17 blue chip commits, which would tie Notre Dame for the most in the country. I think they would jump to maybe 6th or 7th on three. So be on the lookout for that. Thank you, DeAndre Gosha, for that comment. Gators running back room led by Jaden Baugh, augmented by a number of folks, Walt Clark, Landon Montgomery, Pryor. So guys, let's talk a little bit about the Gators running back room. Obviously, Jaden Baugh is going to be the name that is kind of already become a household name. I think we all expect him to be a much bigger household name this upcoming year. But talk to me a little bit about the room, what your expectations are for Baugh, for the rest of the room. Gators absolutely loaded there at running back.
Oh, y'all want me to take off?
Yeah, I mean, you're the running back, so.
Oh, I thought y'all was trying to save me for
the game. Yeah, but. Yeah, we might want to go last because I think like Jordan's tape may just, you know,
might just be a bunch of bobbleheads before.
No, go ahead. Let's kick it off with a running back though. What you thinking, brother?
Yeah, I think for me, honestly, I want to obviously we know that Jaden Baugh gonna be our guy. We're gonna feed him the rock, and obviously we just want to see what that looks like as far as him getting fed, how he was fed last year. But I think we really need to do a good job of kind of implementing all our other guys as well, not all the time, but just if we can get Pryor kind of in the pass game a little bit, just to take some tread off him through the year, just in case we do have a good year that we go on a run. You know, we don't want to lose 13 when we need him the most later in the season. So I think early and often, especially with all the shifting and motion we're going to be doing as an offense, like get our other guys involved. Even if we got two backs on the field, a little 21 pony or something like that, you know, get a little two back sets in there just to kind of get some other guys involved, you know, because I think a lot of eyes is going to be on Jaden Ball. So that'll give guys easy opportunities to get some quick little bubble screens, quick little jet sweeps, you know, just getting them involved because all the attention will be on him. So that's kind of how I feel as far as like playing time should go. But as far as just the talent we got in the room, I mean, I think Jaden Ball can do it all. He's an every down back. We saw that last year. He was catching out of the backfield just fine. So we don't need another back for that. But it's great that he can be that. But just from watching some of Pryor's tape, I think that he's somebody you can trust in the pass game as well. Duke Clark kind of came in last year, and he showed what we can do. He showed his little spurts as a freshman and was able to, you know, pop some big runs and run between the tackles, you know, because, I mean, they're big, right? And he's not that big from what I looked at from the field. And to see him to be able to go in there and still be able to run between the tackles and show how he could still be a third down back and even a special teams guy for us too, I feel like that's huge. And showing the kind of talent we got in that room. And as far as the other guys go, I believe we got another transfer, right? What was his name again?
Evan Pryor. And yeah. London Montgomery.
Yeah, London Montgomery. Yeah, that's
from East Carolina,
right? Yeah. I think he's another guy. You know, he's similar size build to Pryor. They're both like in that 190 range, 5'10". So I figured there'll be some guys that we kind of need to get out in space. They're not going to be our bruiser type guys like a Jaden Ball and all that stuff. So just knowing that we got a lot of speed on the field, you know what I'm saying? I think that's going to be our best asset as far as the backfield goes. And, yeah, man, I just want to let it fly. I hope to see Duke Clark playing a lot because, like we was talking about retention a little bit earlier. I mean, I know that some guys are going to be leaving, but at the end of the day, you don't want to make him too unhappy and then teams start flirting with him because he already was on the field last year. I'm sure he had maybe a couple teams knocking on his door. It just wasn't the right price. Mm-hmm. Or the right opportunity for him. He's like, I might as well stay at Florida. But if you play him wrong this year, I mean, you got to just know that you're going to lose.
I think he's RB2.
Mm-hmm. I hope that's what I'm saying. I would hope that he's RB2 just out of respect. I feel like if you don't make him running back two, it's almost disrespectful. Like I was in a shitty scheme last year and I played through it and, you know, put my body on the line for this team. And now just because you paid two guys out of the portal, I'm running back three or four. Because they, quote unquote, got more experience. I mean, I'd be ready to leave too if I was him. So,
how many times would Jordan have gone in the portal if that was an option when he was at Florida?
I can't lie. My first year, I would have left on y'all ass the way they treated me. I never saw the field, bro. Never, right?
Sure, you did. You had a front row seat.
Yeah, exactly. I never put inside them lines. Okay. Couple of like the blowout games, like I got in a little bit, and I think I had a little breakout run versus Georgia. But other than that, bro, like it was not what I expected. Obviously, coming into it next year, it was a little bit more like, okay, I know I can start this year because like it's no more daddy ball playing play, KT being a guy and force feeding them. Now it's all an even playing field, and like we can get it done. So maybe I wouldn't have left, but I was pretty pissed my freshman year. I can't lie.
I'm not saying you would have left. I'm saying you would have been
testing the waters.
Hey, this is what we're hearing out here. Yesterday's price was not today's price.
Right. Probably for sure. I can't even lie to you.
But I think Jordan makes a good point, Nick, and then I want you to go. Sorry to interrupt. I mean, you're going to lose more likely than not going to lose Jaden Ball this year. Evan Pryor is going to graduate. London Montgomery is a redshirt junior right now. So depending on where he is and where he finishes the year, there's a chance that he could leave. So that would leave you with Duke Clark as your only returner with any experience.
Anthony Rubio?
Byron Lewis, the American.
Yeah, Heritage. Byron Lewis. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's RB5 right now. So.
I talked to his dad personally last time I was up there in Gainesville. And, you know, I was just kind of telling him how proud I was that, like, he didn't jump in the portal, you know? And he was just like, I mean, he's basically said to me, listen, that kid's been fighting his whole life to be a starter. He's like, same thing at American Heritage. He was playing behind Mark Fletcher and amongst of other guys. And when he got his opportunity, look where he ended up going, to the University of Florida. So he's like, he's not a type of kid that's about to run away from his challenges. So when I heard that, I was like, man, that's much respect because there ain't too many of these boys left out here like that. To be looking at a depth chart, they just brought in two running backs on you. You're sitting in front of a potential first round running back to
Two dudes came in over you. It's a dude in your class playing over you. Mm-hmm. That's every button to get up out of there, you know? So I just had to tell him and his dad personally, like, I'm really proud of y'all. For y'all, you feel me, sticking to the logo and the brand and, you know, really being a Gator. Because, I mean, I don't see him leaving. If you this transfer portal year was the year for you to leave. I don't think it gets any worse. Like, I don't think it gets any worse than that. So I don't see
It just depends on what, how his five play out, because the rules have changed since last offseason, right? So it depends on how he look at his his remaining eligibility playing out, but it still sets up the roster set up for him to have opportunities next year, like regardless. So if he didn't go last year, I don't think, like, after everybody leaves after this season, I don't think it'll make sense for him to enter the portal.
No, for sure.
Jordan, question: How accurate? So when you guys do player led practices, how accurate is, like, the depth chart? Like, when you guys are running out there for team 7-on-7,
it get a little depending on the situation, right? I mean, you know, usually the ones and the ones, but you got them couple of positions who are like tweeners, to where it's like, yeah, some days coach got me up, some days coach got you up. And I think ultimately it ends up who can beat who up, because somebody going to walk out there and it's going to be, I'm out here. What you going to do? You said
beat him up?
Yeah, so I'm saying it's almost like a bully scenario. You know what I'm saying?
I like that.
Like, this is my position and I'm going out there. Ain't no coach to tell you, take me out or put me in. I'm in and I'm rocking out. You can get it when I'm done. That's who usually gets in. The dude who's more of an a-hole.
That sounds like Jordan ran out there one time and looked at somebody and goes, hey, when I do this, you play. Until you see me do this, you got a seat over there.
We had to understand.
Big dogs run the yard, man. That's what they say.
I try to set that type of stage from, like, the drills. You know, when we go in Indy, if I'm first in line there and I'm a starter, we ain't changing nothing up, okay? Because you don't be hopping in the front of the line when coach got a new drill and niggas nervous to come do something. Nah, I'll take the L there. So just know all rules apply. I'm always first, okay? Even when we in the film room, I used to be the same way. Like, questions being asked, I'm the first one to kind of speak up, even if I am wrong. Because everybody just usually quiet, be asking a question that probably no one knows or is paying attention to. So I hope that they still going off of them type of rules, like whoever been leading to keep leading. But it's definitely some things that can happen at some player-led practices, for sure.
What's going on at player-led practice, Nick? Give me some juice, man. Who's running out with ones and twos, bro? You got some sauce?
Maybe. I was trying to get some grounds for what I was looking at. Because I don't know how much of it is just, I mean, there's got to be a script. It's not like the players meet in the locker room and go, all right, this is what we're going to do today. It's like there's a script for you to do, even though the coaches can't be out there. Right, Jordan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, telling them, somebody can always put something on a piece of paper. That ain't going out.
Oh, what I found in the locker room. So that's what I was wondering, because, like, I went through the first two and then, like, it's like Duke Clark, I think, is the second teamer. I think he and Evan Pryor are so similar. And I think Evan Pryor, a couple coaches have told me he's even faster than Duke. So, like, those are the two. If you've got kind of like a Thunder Lightning with Ball, London, and then Lightning would be your Pryor, your Duke. But I think Duke Clark is the second one there. But I'm almost kind of seeing it like, I don't know when you take Jaden Ball off the field. Like, you need to give him a little bit of spill him every once in a while, but, like, I don't know when you take him off the field.
I think it's just so regular these days with spelling running backs. Like, I don't even he's gonna be hot, he's gonna do his thing.
And you know what? We asked him after that Florida State game, hey, when's the last time you got that many carries? He's like, dog, I don't know. Like, not even, we're like, high school? He's like, not really. Like, I don't think he's ever been a guy who was, like, at a school where they were like, hey, you're carrying the ball. He was never a Derrick Henry, Kelvin Taylor, where it's like, hey, by the way, we're playing Friday. You're going to carry it 45 to 60 times. We'll see.
Bring your hard hat, son.
Yeah.
I just think for me, I just don't want to put that kind of pressure and load on him. You know what I'm saying? I think if we able to kind of spell him. To get some fresh. Like, I want you fresh. I want you coming in and running the same way you ran on first and 10. I don't want you all socks to the flow, all ran down and beat down and trying to break through tackles like that. That's when injuries happen. So if we can spell them, let's spell them. We got enough talent and speed on the floor to where we can do that, and it'll make sense to us, honestly.
Yeah, I think, too, If you just look at like Evan Pryor's yard per carry, like he's a 6.9, 7 yard per carry type of guy back, mm-hmm. right? So he's more explosive. So if you in the experiences there, he's played big boy football for a while now. He's got having mm-hmm. he's had like 76 attempts on the season. So the workload is there. And I like Duke, man. I think Duke, body wise, he's probably the tallest guy back there, like 6'2".
Yeah, Duke 6'2". Everyone else is kind of like Jaden Ball and Duke are like right there, 6'1", 6'2".
Yeah.
Everyone else is 5'10".
Right. So like from a just size perspective, and Duke is a lightning rod as well that can take it the distance. So I think it's a good spell, right? Because linebackers and defense start to pick up on a pace of how running back hits the hole, you know, they watch his tape, his tendencies. So bringing in a change of pace where somebody's a little bit faster, like they got to feel a little bit differently. So I think we got more like the ECU running back. I like him as well. I think he's bringing something different to the table. I think you got three guys behind Ball where there's going to be some drop off, right? Because he's one of the top backs in the country. But I don't think the drop off is significant enough where you just got to rely on Ball. Like I want him fresh the entire game. Should he be the bell cow? Yes, but it's a long season. We don't want to like burn him out early on, right? We want him to be able to maintain his production throughout the season. And this is going to be good for everybody. I think receiving wise, I think all these guys catch out the backfield as well. So like you're not taking Ball off the field, maybe for a guy that can't catch well out the backfield. Mm-hmm. All these guys got a good track record of doing that as well. So I think it's a well-balanced room. You don't have to, mm-hmm. of course, buy like just even from a making people, I think he led the country or one of the top one or two in the country with missed tackles or broken tackles.
Yep.
Let me see something here. Where's that number at?
So I know we've seen some.
65 missed tackles. And he was one of the top in the country with that. So he does like bring that to the table. If you have an offensive line that's struggling, like some of these guys are like lightning rods and they could take it a distance. But depending on the game, if we're not winning up front, you need somebody just – those are the games you want to have him in there when the line's not blocking well because he can make a guy miss in the box, right? So he's a little different in that category. But I think we got a well-balanced room, and with him off the field, we're fine. Yeah.
220 carries and made someone miss 66 times. That's
– zero fumbles.
Yeah, zero fumbles. Zero fumbles. Yeah, let's run through Jaden Ball. Last year, 1,170 yards, 8 touchdowns, 5.3 yards a carry, all SEC second team. First Gator to hit 1,000 yards since Kelvin Taylor in 2015. Only the third upperclassman with Emmett Smith and Eric Rhett to rush for 1,000 yards in a season as an underclassman. Ended last season with 266 yards on 38 carries, zero negative yards in any of those carries against FSU, the most ever by a Gator against Florida State. 33 catches, 210 yards, 2 touchdowns there. And then there's a good quote where Buster Faulkner was recruiting Jaden Ball to Georgia Tech and told him that the reunion was meant to be. With that, we added a couple more running backs. Evan Pryor, 522 yards, 3 touchdowns. London Montgomery, 742 yards and 7 touchdowns there. And then obviously Duke Clark coming back. We saw Duke Clark a little bit against Texas where he had 38 carries on 9 yards there. So new running back room, but obviously with Jaden Ball and the experience that you're bringing back, they're probably one of the more experienced rooms, if not one of them, not if not the most experienced room, at least in the SEC and maybe in the country. What's your expectations? And sorry if I missed this, I had to hop for a second on yards that you think Jaden Ball, you think he eclipses the 1170 from last year? Definitely. And does he have to?
I don't think he necessarily has to. I just think overall scheme will get him over there, right? Because we did that with teams knowing what we're about to run. It's got to a certain point in the season where we knew we weren't throwing the ball a lot. The percentage to run the pass probably was very significantly different. So I'm not saying that that'll be the case this year as far as run pass goes, but I think that with a better scheme, it'll open up some bigger plays for him to get some more explosive plays. And just getting him in space more. I don't think we got him in space a lot last year. I think he sort of created his own space last year.
Yeah, I went and watched my buddy Brooks Austin. He runs a YouTube channel called The Film Guy. Forgive him, he is a Georgia Bulldog guy, but breaks down film and was watching the spring game. Dylan Olive posted it and he was just going through it and just like total bromance with Buster Faulkner. So I'm interested to kind of see those shifts, those motions, how you're getting, because I mean, honestly, I think you have to scheme kind of around what you are as an offensive line and use the tight end group to help with tackles. But I'm interested to see what they do because he does use a ton of motion.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think the run game is the key to the season, though. Like, I think you got two quarterbacks with some inexperience, even though Fido has some experience in Buster Faulkner's offense. They still both lacking some real, you know, being the guy, being QB1. Like, there's a lot of experience missing in that aspect. So you want to be able to rely on a run game, maybe force the other team to lower the box and get some one-on-one looks on the outside with a very talented receiver, of course. But I think this offense and the way everything functions starts and ends with the run game. So run blocking is going to be one of the key things I watch even in, like, camp, like hearing the feedback of what's going on in that, because they're going to be facing a very good defensive line, in my opinion. So we'll get a kind of an idea of what we got between the tackles. But I think the run game, the offense is hinged on that very heavily.
We're going to get some predictions here in a second. Chris Foster, who came from Duke, new running backs coach, he developed Nate Shepard, their running back, into the ACC's number two rusher last season. He was quoted in saying, "We don't have a depth chart. We have a rep chart." So we're going to run through this real quick and see how do we stack the order in terms of number of reps on average per game. And how are we going to rank those one through four? So we've got four options. Obviously, we've got more than four running backs here, but we're going to say Jaden Ball, Clark, Montgomery, and Pryor. How do you rank them? We don't have to get exact number of carries you think they're going to get in a game, but how do you think the season ends with those fours, first through fourth, in total reps, with what knowing what we know today? Jordan?
Oh, I don't know. Obviously, Ball gonna be getting the bulk of the share, but
hot take like right.
I know that one for sure. I can give you that one, but as far as everybody else, man, I do, like I said earlier, I would want to see Duke Clark being at number two as far as like second most reps, and then for third, I mean, it's a head scratcher because do you want to feed your guy that's about to go to the league, or do you want to feed somebody who potentially should be a returning guy? You know, I mean, you don't want to make him not happy and have him dancing around in the portal next year. So,
well, I mean, that's an interesting comment, Joy. So I want your thoughts there, and I put yourself assuming that the two are similar, right? And as players and what you think you can get out of them. What would you do? Would you try to feed the guy that's a redshirt senior? Would you try to feed the guy that's a redshirt junior that you have the chance of getting back next year? Like, there's obviously a ton that goes into that decision, right? And are they skill set similar? How are they performing? What would you do in that situation?
I think their skill sets are pretty similar. They're around the same, like, body frame, 5'10", 190, 195-ish. I would roll with the senior that's leaving. I think that it's going to do better for you in the portal if and when you do have to dance back in the portal for a running back. You know that, okay, I can go to Florida because I know it's my last year. They're not about to play around with me. Versus if they do him wrong, it's like you should almost kiss yourself goodbye in the portal unless you're spending big, big money to get the best guy. But with a guy like him, he wasn't the top of the town in the portal. You know what I'm saying? He was somebody who was available and able to grab, but you want to be able to go into the portal next year and grab a guy who has 1 year eligibility left, and he knows that he's going to get what he's getting out of coming to Florida. Not like, okay, you got Clark coming back and Landon Montgomery coming back. Like, why would I come there if you got those two guys? Well, you should come because we just had Evan Pryor here, and he ran for 500 yards, 600 yards behind Jaden Ball and somebody else. You know, so I would lean that way and just hope that you would trust that, you know, Landon Montgomery would want to stay for the brand. We got a lot of good resources and perks here. And if we start winning some good games, you know, who doesn't want to be a Florida Gator when we win it, you know? So I'll lean on that and just hoping that my program could kind of retain you and a little bit of money, obviously. But that's what I would kind of lean on. I would kind of lean towards that angle because I think it'll help you out in the portal moving forward if and when you do need to go back and get a one and done kind of guy. And you got to spend top dollar for it. You can get a middle tier guy who you know is probably better and he can play better in your system. I think we also do a really good job of that when we're finding players and that they really want to find guys that fit within their system and what they're trying to do. So obviously once we see how they really do this year when the bullets are really flying, how the play calling is going, that these guys are a good fit and we'll be able to make a better assessment there.
I like that take. Corey, how do you got the order shaken out in terms of carries between Ball, Clark, Pryor, and Montgomery?
What if we stuck to like a percentage, like if you had a pie?
Like we could do that,
Jayden
too.
Jayden Ball gets up. What percentage?
Yeah, what percentage? Okay, Corey, what percentage of carries?
And then you can break it down. But I think we all think everyone's going to say Jayden Ball is number one.
Okay,
like how much of that pie is he getting? And then who?
Cool. Yeah, we do that.
Yeah, I guess I'll go like 60. I'll go like 60 for Ball, 20 for Duke Clark's, and then probably 15 and 5.
Okay.
That's about where I'm at right now.
Yeah, I think depending on how well Duke Clark plays versus Pryor, I think you can interchange those out to 15 and 20. If you got Pryor balling out, and like you said, he's a little bit faster, he's able to break some big plays and do some things like that, I think you just mix match that 20 to 15 and just rock out like that. I mean, I think that's solid.
Go ahead, Corey. Go ahead.
No, you're cool. Like either way. I'm gonna put Duke a little higher, right? I like the 60, but I think Duke is gonna surprise some people. I think he's very explosive. I like what I saw even from him out of high school, and I like what I saw from even from Springs and a lot of what I heard. But I think he's gonna be an explosive guy that even the fans are gonna want to see more. I like Jordan's take with the older guys because that's usually the tough part with being a coach. Like you want to be able to get your draft eligible guys drafted. But just out of the spirit of just real competition, I think Duke is going to make it tough on those other guys, you know, to be able to get carries because while you want to get those guys drafted, sometimes it's just hard to deny a dude that's just breaking big runs. And out of the past, I think when you flank a Duke out, it's a difference than flanking anybody else in that wide receiver room. I think Duke Clark could run the entire wide receiver tree, and that makes him a different type of weapon when you could run the entire route tree, right? Mm. So I think Duke is going to be on the field a little bit more. I think he's going to bring more to the passing game, and that just allows you to be on the – when you're on the field more, you're going to get more touches. Yeah. So I like Jordan's breakdown, but I just think it's going to be a tweak a little bit more to Duke Clark's favor just because he's a special talent at running back. I think he's just overlooked a little bit, but – about to open some eyes this fall.
Okay, cool. I like that take, Nick.
Yeah, and I think he got overlooked because he got dinged up last year. Like he just started to like shine and like things start slowing down for him and then he gets dinged up and then out of sight, out of mind. I really don't know how Buster would like break it up, but I almost think Jayden Baugh, if you don't use it, you lose it. Like Dan said, he's going to the league. I think like 65%, 20, 25 for
yeah, you gotta get RB2. Your money's worth.
60. All right, 85%. Yeah, 85%. Don't you dare touch that top of your helmet. You stay out there. Yeah. Coach, it's 4th and 37. You're on punt team now. Get out there. Man. Punt the ball, snap it. You're out there. I think Duke will get that opportunity because I think Corey, you made a great point. Like he's your best receiver and not just like the best receiver of the running back room, but like a legitimate guy who can run routes. And, you could have a 2 wide receiver set and motion him out into the slot and feel good about what he's going to run.
Get a nice little wishbone set out there.
Well, yeah.
God damn, man. Let's run the same plays we run it just out of 21.
I think that's what separates him and Evan Pryor. They both have that, like, make one guy miss off the races speed, shiftiness. But I think the separation is Duke's receiving ability. Yeah. So I'd go like 65-70, and then that would go down to like 25-20. Depending on if ball goes to 70, I'd drop it down to 20, and then it's like 5% and 5% with the other two.
Yeah. Double slot, triple option. I love that. In his prior number two, I think they're still trying to figure that out. I think we all think that Duke Clark.
I think he asked that. He asked that before we started giving our percentages.
Yeah. Oh, my bad. Hard doing multiple jobs here.
I know we're doing a little Wildcat and shit. Who y'all trust to be the backup Wildcat guy?
I mean, Bob was a Wildcat before he got here, right? He's a quarterback, so.
I know, but just take Ball out of it for a second. Let's just say he's tired. Who is your number two guy to hop in a Wildcat?
Aiden. I'm going to Duke, bro. Big Duke fan. I'm running the Duke Hive, man. Okay, operator.
You ain't trusting the old guy to secure that rock, little ball security?
Nah, I like the Tampa boy.
I feel you. I mean, me personally, if I was a coach, I probably would in that instance go with a dude like Evan Pryor just because he's older. He knows the significance of ball security. Obviously, everyone does plan on that team. I'm sure they're all in the same meetings, but he's probably been through a few more scenarios where he's lost the ball and he knows what that feels like. So, knock on wood, I hope that never happened to my boy Duke Clark. I want you to go the entire career, college career, NFL career, no fumbles. I broke that for you, brother, but you don't know until it happened. Then you all of a sudden wishing you would have, could have, and what I should have did better. So, for me, I would definitely put Evan Pryor in that spot, like the quarterback two, whatever, Wildcat running back two.
I want you guys to put on your little thinking brain and history brain here. If Jaden Baugh is able to have another season or better, like what he had last year, I think name recognition moves him from probably second team to first team. If you have the same stats, all SEC, potentially an All-American, second team All-American. Gators have had an illustrious room of running backs over the years. Emmitt Smith, Eric Rett, Fred Taylor, the list goes down. Jordan Scarlett. But where do you think Jaden Baugh, if he has a similar year to that he did this year, where would you put him? And I don't need you to rank him, you know, you don't have to go through every running back, but does that make him a top 10 running back in UF history, top 7, maybe a top 5? Obviously the teams haven't won. I mean, if you have another season, they haven't maybe won as much as, you know, the Fred Taylor teams, et cetera. But where do you think that potentially puts him in Gator lore?
I would go top 5. Call me crazy.
Top 5.
Yeah.
Top 5.
No disrespect. Yeah. No disrespect at all. But, I mean, you put on 2 years back-to-back, especially considering what he went through last year. I mean, you got to put a cat top 5.
I think, like, getting 1,000 yards, like, back-to-back season, like, similar production like that in a passing era. It's because most of our great backs did it in an era where even though we had fun and gun, it was a running era. Like we had running backs and it was kind of known, but this is a very, this system and the way offenses ran these days isn't like conducive in it. How many backs we use this day isn't conducive to be getting 1,000 yards. So I think that puts him in that realm. I think, he's going to be known for like the best player on these last two teams. If you go and put out that production, and being known as the best player on a Gator team back-to-back years, that goes a long way. And just thinking top five, you probably got in the top five, like outside of just yards, who probably wrapping it up? Like Siatric Faison or somebody's probably wrapping up that top five?
I'm pulling it up.
Yeah, right, so now, if you look at just like – I'm just kind of looking around here at names here. Eric Redd is your career leader in yards. Emmitt Smith, 2. Neil Anderson, 3. Fred Taylor, 4. Ernest Graham, 5. Some other names, Tony Green, LaMichael Pirine, Jeff Demps, Chris Rainey, all had a lot of yards. Jaden Baugh right now is at about 1,843 rushing yards. You put him with 1,200 yards, he moves top 5, maybe top 4 of all time. He'd really have to go off to move into that third spot, and then he'd have to have more than 2,000 yards to pass Emmitt Smith or Eric Rett. But
saying a lot, top 5 is tough. Top five.
Emmitt Smith, Fred Taylor, Eric Rett, one that's a little bit older, Neil Anderson, pretty consensusly put into that group. Ernest Graham, I think, would probably be round out the five.
Yeah, he might be about six. That's gonna be tough to get in that top five.
Yeah,
that's
and Seattrick Faison's right there. He had a great year. Then you can go real old school.
That's just from a production standpoint, right? But then it's just like the eye test, maybe the draft that you include in that, like overall. But production, that's one stat to kind of lean on. But I just think overall value, Ernest Brown wasn't the best player on that team. I don't think Fred Taylor was the best player on that team. Emmitt probably was. Neil Anderson, that's a little bit for my time to really know the entire team. But I think Ball is going to be the best player on the team, if not the offense, for sure, right? So I think that's the difference between him and some of the guys in that top five.
Yeah. No, I like that. I like that take a lot.
By the way, that website had Jordan Scarlett at 19.
I'll take top 20 anything at Florida.
Buddy, they've been playing football for 100 years.
Hey,
top 20 yards from Midtown to the stadium. Like, I take that, bro, all time. Like anything all time.
Oh, my fault, but I did only play two seasons for that freshman season. I played like maybe like three games.
Yeah.
And we cannot forget former first round pick Larry Smith at running back.
We also can't
forget Red Bethia. who in 1930 ran for 218 yards in one game. So shout out to
Eric Singleton is not the best player. Like, get that out of here. Like, no, I like Eric Singleton, but
this is a really good segue. It's a really good segue. Let's talk wide receiver room. Sure. Gators arguably seven deep at wide receiver. The big names, obviously, Dallas Wilson, Vernell Brown, and Eric Singleton. Then, you know, Micah Mays is there, Bailey Stockton, Jalen Lloyd, the transfer. TJ Abrams is coming back. Justin Williams, the freshman. All in all, maybe the deepest wide receiver room, at least on paper. We'll see how it produces on the field. But on paper, one of the best wide receiver rooms the Gators have maybe ever had in terms of talent.
The roster pulled up so I can look at it. And they have season at UF, Khalil Jackson, seventh.
Shout out to Khalil. Forgot. Yep.
Khalil is the reason they changed the rules, man.
Khalil Jackson, originally recruited by Steve Spurrier, and heading into his final season of eligibility.
Keith Daniel and Ace Ciangoli, the transfer from Indiana, the walk-on.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. So, like, 1-2-3 is going to be Dallas and Singleton on the outside, VB3 inside. I think VB3 can also play outside. After them, the next three would be Bailey Stockton, Mike and Mays. And then I think that seven or that sixth guy, that's kind of where you start getting into, okay, Jalen Lloyd, who came in, is it Khalil Jackson, TJ Abrams, Mike May, or I already mentioned Mike Mays. That's 6-7 is kind of where you start getting competition. But for me, 1-2-3 is cut and dry. And then the guys after them, 4-5-6, pretty cut and dry, but super talented room. I really haven't seen a lot from the freshmen. I think that's probably because you get Dallas Wilson back, who, by the way, I saw sprinting, full participant last week. My guy's looking good. Ben Hanks, unreal. Ben Hanks, just like one rep, you're covering Eric Singleton. It's like, all right, cool, get back to the line of scrimmage. Hey, Dallas Wilson's in front of you.
Yeah. Congrats. Yeah, it's great. Great practice for him. I want to break this down a little bit more. So let's talk those big three, and then we'll get into this Eric Singleton discussion. So Vernell Brown, 40 catches, 512 yards as a freshman, freshman All-SEC. Dallas Wilson, obviously injury-riddled season, 1,111 yards, 6 catches, 2 touchdowns, breakout game against Texas, some unbelievable catches in that game. And then Eric Singleton, back-to-back seasons with over 700 yards between his time with Buster Faulkner at Georgia Tech, and then spent some time with Marcus Davis, his wide receiver coach at Auburn, knows obviously this offense well, was going to declare for the NFL, or did declare for the NFL draft, came back. So a guy that certainly potentially had an opportunity to go pro this year. Let's break those down. I mean, all three bring some similar and some very different skill sets to the table. How do you think this works out in terms of who leads the team in yards, who leads the team in receptions? Just those.
Go ahead.
Receptions, VB3, yards, Singleton.
So I got it flipped. I think reception is going to be Singleton for simple fact. He played in that Georgia Tech offense a couple of years, right? I think he knows it a little bit better. Yards, I like just looking at the yards. Brunell Brown leads the bunch from last year with, I think, average. No, actually, I think it's yards. I'm going to go with Dallas Wilson. I think body-wise, he's a bigger player. Touchdown-wise, I think also Dallas wins that just from a big body standpoint. But I think yards comes down to Dallas and Michael Mayes just from size, stretching the field, et cetera. But I think Singleton's our guy as far as receptions, being that release valve at the slot, et cetera. Him and if it's Philo, right, there's a lot of familiarity with the offense, if it's him in that starting group. But I just think familiarity with the offense makes a lot of sense. For it to be Singleton, being a reliable guy, know what he's supposed to be, et cetera. And usually the slot or the tight end is usually that release valve for an inexperienced quarterback. It's usually the tight end who they kind of feed off or the slot.
Yeah. Right. What do you got, Jordan? Receptions, yards, touchdowns between those three?
I would say for receptions, I'll go with Dallas Wilson just because – I think we want to turn him into, you know, Jeremiah Smith kind of guy. It's the guy who could be the next face of our offense next year, and we kind of just want to put that in place for now. So I can see us feeding him. Will he be available and ready? I pray, and we can get that train rolling. But for receptions, I got to agree with Corey on the Singleton take in that. I think he's just going to be – he's the most experienced, quote-unquote, in the room as far as scheme goes, and – depending on who the quarterback is, I think he'll get real comfortable with Philo just because he knows the scheme and the timing of everything, and they probably getting connected in that regard. But overall, I mean, they said he's the fastest on the team too. So
we lost Jordan.
Lost Jordan.
Awesome. Tough frozen face there too.
It's a tough one. I'll take him off screen so he doesn't get memed. Do you guys have any concern, though, about we don't know about quarterback right now? And there are some people, some commentary like, oh, you're being too negative. I was like, I thought last week we were just kind of calling balls and strikes on what the positives, what the concerns were. From a deep ball perspective, are you, Nick, would your opinion change depending on who the quarterback might be in terms of receptions or in terms of yards potentially?
I don't know. Like I think we got to also recognize like how intelligent VB3 is. So like by the time we get to fall camp fall, I wouldn't say like, oh, Eric Singleton knows the offense better than VB3. But Tremel also has a ton of experience throwing
that, guys.
To.
I'm on the Obama Wi-Fi, it seems to be. Jesus.
VB3.
Yeah, I like Wilson for the touchdown, Singleton for the receptions. I'm back on the Obama Wi-Fi.
No, you're good.
Interrupted the beginning at the middle of next sentence.
Oh, shit, my fault.
You're good.
I'm going Wilson TD, Singleton receptions, and VB3 for the yards. I think he'll VB3 or more be the gadget guy, all-purpose yards, get him jet sweeps, a bubbles, hand there. You know, we're going to get him involved the way we can.
Hey, now, those jet sweeps count as receptions.
They do.
Right? You're right.
sorry, Nick, what were you saying?
Tremel has a ton of experience throwing to Dallas and a ton of way more reps thrown to Dallas, thrown to VB3, thrown to TJ Abrams, thrown to Khalil Jackson. I just don't know. Like, I think at least for me, it was a big talking point in the spring for these Georgia Tech guys that came in. But I think as much as they're working now, like I don't know that I put a lot of emphasis on it once we get to like fall camp.
Okay.
Especially VB3, like he's stupid intelligent, crazy smart.
Okay. I like that. Let's get beyond that just so we can kind of see who's next. Like we kind of know who those three are. Micah Mays, I think I know where Corey's going with it with this conversation. We got Micah Mays, Bailey Stockton, and I would say TJ Abrams is probably your next three there. I think that Jalen Lloyd, you know, the transfer from Nebraska in Oklahoma State is a guy that has done some things in high school or in college, pardon me, last year at Oklahoma State, just not a great season. Maybe your second fastest guy. Like I would have thought he would have been the fastest guy on the roster or in the running or the wide receiver group, pardon me, this year. But let's look at those three, Mays, Stockton, and TJ Abrams. Where do you guys think that they fit in? And how much playing time do you expect that next crop of three?
I expect them to rotate in very like regularly. Just because those guys are guys that can go play, right? And I don't know if there's a big gap in between a lot of, you know, their skill sets and productivity. If you just look at just the productivity that all those guys put up last year, I think you got a bunch of guys that all can make somebody miss and then go get a lot of yards after the catch from all of these, a lot of yak from all of those guys. So I think Stockton rotates right in regularly. I think Mays is one of those guys. I think Abrams is one of those guys. I don't see a way where you keep those guys off the field. I think if you start to go a little tempo, it's high out there on Saturdays. Attrition is the name of the game. Mm-hmm. Also, keeping these guys fresh and injury-free is going to be a thing. So I think those first three, I think the first man off the field or the first man on the field out of those backups, I think is Micah Mays. He's the most similar, I think, to a Dallas Wilson or a guy if you want to get a bigger body outside alongside of Dallas Wilson. As you get closer maybe to the red zone and you need more of a bigger body for like that type of possession receiver, he's more like that type. Those two are the two, I think, oddballs in that room as far as size speed combination. So I do think Micah Mays is the first guy off the sidelines.
Yeah.
But I like Bailey Stockton's familiarity with the offense as well. Lunch bell guy, knows where to be, you know.
No, hold on.
Crafty.
Got a little seasoning.
Got a little seasoning, huh?
Got a little Ricky Pierce on him.
I gotta see his Dougie. Can he Dougie?
See, I gotta see his Dougie.
Can teach me how to Dougie.
Hey, let me see. I gotta see that Dougie. You got content to do with the Florida Victorious, man. Let's check out his Dougie.
I think he can Dougie.
Okay. I think he can Dougie.
No, for real. That's crazy.
No, I think it's gonna be a battle between him and Abrams, who comes off the field second. I love what Abrams brought to the table last year, though. I didn't expect that out of him. I thought Tane Hawkins would be a guy that was ahead of him last year, but Abrams like proved a lot of people wrong. I think, you know, with how things panned out, I didn't think none of us seen him kind of having somewhat of a productive season or being some type of a commodity that we had to bring back. But I think Abrams is gonna be right in the mix too. He's proven his name was regular during the spring. So I think Absolutely. He's a guy that's also going to be in the mix.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Gators kind of have a spoil of riches there, and you have some really good backups for each of the positions too. It's not like after your X and Y, you just have an onslaught of slot receivers. you've got some good X's with experience. You got some good Y's. And then you definitely have some slot receivers that can come in that have quite a bit of experience. And I think that you can also rotate these guys around. I think they're multifaceted. Nick, what are your thoughts? What do you think next after those three? Stockton, Mays, and Abrams. How do you think
that works out? I think after those three, Marquise Daniels is a guy who gives you something you don't really have with that size, 6'5", like 6'5", 6'6". He's like, I guess a little thinner than Amir Jackson, but like that same kind of height. Justin Williams, the Gainesville product, Ace, Khalil Jackson. It's kind of just like a pool. Davin Gross, who I think is more of a gadget kind of guy, like a bigger version.
We're going to talk about those guys next, that list. I want to just talk about the Mays.
Just the second three?
Mays.
Yeah, I think Corey's right. I think Mays is the first one off. And then I like TJ Abrams. It's kind of like 5'6" for me is kind of like interchangeable. I do think, I guess if we were saying that, you know, the basketball terms, the sixth man of the year in that wide receiver room would be Mays, you know, the first guy off the bench.
I like that. Yeah. I think he's poised for a breakout year. I think that he's going to make a big impact with this team next year. I want to ask you guys, like, what are your expectations on offense? You think we see some five wide receiver sets, more four wide receiver sets? And if you were to put your traditional four, do you guys have it as Wilson, Mays, VB3, and Eric Singleton? Is that the four that you would probably run out there, or would you mix it in with somebody else?
Yeah, I didn't see a single five receiver set. Like,
yeah,
I just didn't see it at all in the spring. Like,
I got to see a lot more from my old line before I go empty set.
Yeah, like, and I was about to say that.
Yeah, and then take ball off the field would be just like teeing off to a defense, right? You want that defense to always be thinking like ball's a possibility of getting the ball. So I like four receiver sets. Never, if we go in empty, it's because the running back went out, flanked out.
There wasn't a single time in the spring that I saw empty backfield. Like, hey, we broke the huddle, empty backfield. If there's five, it's because the running back was motioned out.
Wait till they give me the sticks in the fourth quarter.
They're gonna run you out of town like Billy, man.
It's gonna be nuts. Do that.
But yeah, I think you'll see some four. I think you'll see a lot of like 11 personnel, like a tight end to help. Like I'm not high on the offensive line from what I've seen, and I don't love the health and safety of Florida's quarterback. If we're going to run out there and be like, you know what, this drive, let's let five guys play receiver and run routes. Four hitches and a quick drag.
Gotta get it out quick.
But from a discussion on wide receivers perspective, that point is exceptionally valid. And I appreciate that thought. But if you were to run out four wide receivers, Nick, it's first and 10, 50-yard line. Gators up 10, halfway through the third. Who are you putting out there? What's your four? Got to get a first down. Or you want to get a first down?
Well, it's first and 10. We don't have to get a first down.
No, that's why I said you want to. You want to step on their throat. You want to start running up the score. What's your idea?
Dallas, Singleton, Mays, and VB3.
Okay.
The four.
Corey, same.
He said Dallas, Singleton, Mays. Yeah, that's the four.
I honestly feel like you can't take Mays out of that after that spring game you saw. Like,
no.
He came out there, bro.
I'm just so happy. Like, yeah, bro.
Right. Yeah, over 100 feet or something down there. I mean,
Silk's like, listen, I don't care where he was from. I was going to lie from just because about where he's from.
I just know the kid. Like,
you knew the pedigree.
I knew the pedigree, right? Like, I know like the dad, the uncle. I just seen his dad. His dad. I seen his uncle. Matter of fact, ran into him at the cigar bar in West Palm. He don't have no social media, but his uncle was more so who trained me as a kid. So I seen him. I was just like, hey, bro, like He's at UF. I've been hyping him up, etc. And he was just like, yeah, man, I don't even watch him play. Like, I don't know, man. I may go to a game or two, but like elite football pedigree and track speed. And I'm pretty sure that's why even Davis, Marcus Davis, our receiver coach, he from Palm Beach. So we all knew here. The talent in South Florida overall is very under-evaluated. It sounds crazy, but it's just so much that like, you can't get everybody, bro. It's some kids down here that are three stars that should be four stars, but you can't get every South Florida receiver a four star.
And he was the one player, too. Like, every day in the spring, I talk to a kid when we're doing charity events, we're doing whatever. I'm like, who's somebody that, like, I need to watch a practice? Like, yo, Micah Mays.
Like, yeah, every and also that Florida like, State game. Mays. I was watching. I was like, hate watching Florida State last year. Wake Forest, and I was like, yo, that name sounds familiar. And that's when I like did my suit, make sure that was the right Mays. And I was just like, yeah, like he's a guy. But that hate watching, he was going crazy on them boys.
So. Love that, man. I love that. Last question for you guys, and then I want to get into some quick hitters before we wrap up here. Of the guys that we haven't really talked about, Nick brought up a slew of them here, but. Khalil Jackson, Justin Williams, Marquise Daniel, Jalen Lloyd, Davion Grosse. Like, I feel weird kind of throwing Khalil Jackson in there because we've seen what he's done. I just think that there's some more talent on the team. So that's where he's going for this conversation. Maybe Khalil Jackson aside for this question, like, who do you think has the next biggest impact out of that group? So again, it's the freshman. Gross, Williams, Marquise Daniel, and then is that it? Yeah, I mean, I guess Jalen Lloyd in there. Who do you think has the biggest impact that maybe were?
I don't know. I think out of the bunch, out of the young boys, I would rather just throw Khalil in there, to be honest with you, man.
Okay.
I think Khalil is around that body type of the three we're talking about with Mays and he's just experienced. He's a guy that can make contested catches in the red zone.
He's good for one unbelievable catch a game.
For sure. And then like those unbelievable catches are just bad ball placement. He just made look normal, right? So I would like to see him catch the ball and be able to run. He's a good route runner. I think Khalil is going to be within that second group. I think he's a guy that you kind of rotate in. Yeah. I don't know how much targets he gets, and I can't put a number on that. But the young freshmen, I don't think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for them to get playing time. I think with the group of that first wave, the second wave, and then a guy like Khalil, a veteran that can also come in and bring and give you some very valuable snaps, I don't see them young boys playing a whole lot. I think it's special teams time for them boys, bro.
Yeah.
Good
problem to have.
I think that's a good problem as well. I think Khalil will be that guy who comes on the field and he's trying to block somebody. You know what I'm saying? He knows what it takes to get on the field, to stay on the field when he gets out there versus a freshman. They may be loafing on a player too where they know they ain't getting the ball. It's a run play. And they'll watch that on film on Monday or Sunday. And be like, man, you ain't never getting back in. You blocking like this. So I'll be with the vet out of all the puppies, to be honest with you.
Yeah, because even like if we talk – oh, no, go ahead, Nick. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead. I was just gonna make a dumb joke. Go ahead.
I think like somebody said, I like Gross, right? But Gross is probably playing the slot. And who you have? You have Stockton, you have Abrams, you have VB3, you have Singleton, you have a slew of killers that it's hard to take off the field. So what do you put the young boy in to get reps at, right? When all of those guys are veteran guys that I think can play at a high level. It's tough.
Yeah.
And this is the same thing. We had this conversation, like the exact same conversation last year at this point. And people were like, Tank needs to play. TJ needs to play. I'm like, who are you taking off the field to get him the reps? Right.
Yeah.
You're taking VB off so that Gross can get on, or you're taking VB stocked it. You're like, it's a good problem to have. You'd rather have more than not enough. But yeah, like even like Justin Williams, like I think that's a guy who people around here are super excited about just because he's a local kid. Super shifty, fast, but like this is Urban Meyer time. Like, hey, if you're a freshman, you probably need to figure out how to get on special teams, figure out how to get on one of those teams.
I mean, what a good problem to have for the Gators. And like, assuming the season's good, assuming NIL's right, like you have the chance to bring a lot of them back. next year too. So could be a great couple years. And my whole opinion is like the two groups that we talked about today, the best thing that they could have for one another is that the other position group is just as talented. The wide receiver group, I think, will do better because the running back group is so strong, and the running back group will do well because they know that they can't just load the box waiting for Jaden Ball to tote the rock. So super excited about what each of these position groups do. As Corey said, we have Ferraris, so hopefully we can use them. A lot of it's going to depend on offensive line, which we'll talk about next week. And then a lot of it's going to depend on the quarterback room, which you talked about last week. A couple quick questions for you guys. Who do you think will be the first Gator to score a touchdown in 2026?
Jaden Ball.
Okay.
I don't know why Jordan gave us those serial killer eyes when he said it.
I know.
Like, is this even a question here?
I mean, give me deep ball, man. Give me Buster Faulkner taking that thing deep, man. Give me VB3. I like VB3.
That would be VB's first touchdown. Whenever I get the opportunity, let VB3 know that he and I have the same number of career touchdowns as Florida Gators.
Don't do that.
I have to because it's not gonna be a fact for very long, Jordan. I've been getting my
reps. You gotta troll him while you can.
I can.
That's not an indictment on VB3. That's an indictment on the offense, brother. So,
yeah, because he was balling. Yeah,
y'all play for the same quality of OC as well, Nick.
Aaron Fila rushing touchdown. Okay.
That was something like that one.
I'm gonna hop on. I can't troll him and just leave it there. I'm gonna follow soap. I'm gonna go. We get VB3 first touchdown of the year, first touchdown of the career.
Pop early,
bro. I was talking to him after the spring game. We did our like autograph signing thing, and I'm talking to him, and he goes, "Bro, it felt so good." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "I haven't been in the end zone in like 2 years." I was like, "Damn, that's crazy to think about like that."
Neither of you, Nick.
I have two kids in the end zone.
That's a good point. Good point. So a lot of ball, a lot of Dallas Wilson, Jaden Ball, Mike Mays.
Out of his hair.
All right. How many?
You haven't been in the end zone, Dan.
Like, yeah.
I stood in the end zone a bunch of times when I was there. over under, how many 100-yard rushing games do you think Jaden Ball has this year? I'm going to say 4.5.
Over, buddy, we got FAU and Campbell on the schedule this year. Yeah, this isn't starting with Utah anymore.
And FSU, that's a good point.
And FSU, yeah. That's three FSU right there.
FBS programs right there.
Yeah, but yeah,
it's not a real program. That's like flat.
Big over.
What if I set the number at like 7?
Now I'll be a little bit more.
I think 6.5 is a good number.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give me over 6.5. I'm over.
So you're over, there goes. You're over 6.5 right, cool. Or under 6.5?
Over.
If you set the line, then.
I mean, that's not really how.
Well, you have to be. You have to be under then. Because if I would have said 7, then you would have said a great line would have been 7.5. Because then you have to straddle the line. So you knock me down. So Nick says 6. Jordan says 7. Corey, what do you think?
I like 6.5, but I'm over it. Give me over 6.5.
I don't know what this is alluding to, so I'm going to assume every question we have, Delatorre should not be allowed to answer this question. So
I don't know why.
Noted to the producer. Problem is when people join, it could have been 45 minutes ago that they're just popping up. So he's going to have 1,500 yards if the receivers get off. I think if the receivers get off, there's a significantly less likely chance that he gets 1,500 yards. It's a lot of rushing.
I think that person's thought process is teams then can't stack the box.
Like I said, if this season can work out well, offensive line, quarterback room, the greatest asset that each one of these position groups has is the other being as talented as they are.
I predicted Jaden Ball to have 1,000 yards last year. That was the only prediction I made the entire offseason. Went 1-for-1. Thank you, Chucky, for bringing that up.
Man, we need to revisit Nick's predictions from last year. I need you to bring that same energy you brought predicting last season. to this one. All right, guys, we're going to head out.
Cool. Yeah, I got to jump.
All right, boys, we're going to head out of here one final time for our friends over at Alumni Hall. Go visit alumnihall.com or go visit them in Gainesville, Florida, the largest selection of Florida Gators wear and apparel that you're going to find in the city of Gainesville and likely online. They've been a longtime supporter of the show, and we appreciate them because you guys continue to support them with us. So go visit alumnihall.com or go visit them in Gainesville right on Archer Road. We appreciate everybody for watching. We know we shifted the time this week because of the USA men's soccer game in a little bit of time. So go America, go Team USA. We'll see you guys at the same corner at our original time next week.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.